I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life.
This is Debbie Dashinger, and I am in Los Angeles speaking with R. Christian Minson, who is in Guanacaste, Costa Rica, at Rhythmia. And first, I want to acknowledge this is Dare to Dream, and Dare to Dream podcast has been nominated for two People's Choice Awards. It's such a big deal because I'm up against some very big names, and I appreciate it. The timing is perfect after 12-plus years on air and on podcast, the recognition is deeply, deeply appreciated. So the two places where I'm nominated are for entertainment and also the overall People's Choice Awards. These are great, great places to go and great people to be up against, so to speak. May we all win in our own ways. And this show is sponsored by Dr. Dane Heer, who's the co-founder of Access Consciousness. And he does extraordinary energy work out into the world, and you can become a facilitator or take their workshops or get their products. Go to accessconsciousness.com or drdaneheer.com. You can subscribe to the show, and I recommend that you do because it comes right into your inbox, youtube.com/Debbie Dashinger. It's DACHINGER. Also, Apple and Google Podcasts, Spreaker, Stitcher, BBS Radio, Radio Public, iHeart Radio, Player FM, and many more. Leave us a 5-star review. We so appreciate it. My question to you is, what if you could find meaning and purpose in your life? My guest today is an award-winning speaker, best-selling contributing author, trainer, and life balance coach. As a former monk of 10 years, R. Christian Minson is currently the resident director of Breathwork Program at Rhythmia Life Advancement Center in Costa Rica. He's the founder of Breath Flow Wellness, a transformational holistic health business that helps others achieve greater spiritual and emotional intelligence by integrating trauma, releasing limiting habits, managing emotions, and teaching others to find meaning in their own lives and work. Christian delivers real-world tools that result in lower levels of stress, greater emotional awareness, and higher levels of fulfillment and performance. Christian shares his message and techniques through speaking engagements, one-on-one sessions, and public seminars. He has reached thousands of people across the globe and has presented at conferences, universities, churches, retreat centers, and the Chopra Center. If you are interested in going to Rhythmia, and I will be there October 12th through the 19th, please join me in this amazing journey I'm on right now. Rhythmia reservations are 877-829-9379 or rhythmia.link/Dashinger. Christian, welcome to Dare to Dream. It is so great to have you.
Yeah, great to be here, and congratulations on those nominations too.
Appreciate that. That was an intention come to fruition. So, you know, you will hopefully be part of this as this goes out and even more people discover the show. You are clearly in Costa Rica at Rhythmia. And I want to know, what is it like for you? What is a typical day like for you with the work you do around breath flow and breath work at the Rhythmia? What a tongue twister. Rhythmia Life Advancement Center. Ta-da.
Yeah, well, a typical day of here is step outside of my door and I'm on duty. And, you know, going to breakfast, we have... you know, it's a very interactive approach here. We intermingle with all the guests and all of the staff is very accessible to help people through their journeys. So most of us wear many hats in the whole thing. But as you mentioned, one of my major duties is that I direct the breathwork program here, which is next to plant medicine, breathwork. Plant medicine and breathwork are the two hallmarks of this program. And the breath starts the week for people, gives them a taste of what's to come with the plant medicine, as we may get into. Breath and plant medicine can offer a lot of the same sort of cathartic experiences, a lot of the same transcendental experiences. And then at the end of the week, we use that breathwork again to help wrap up everybody's experience, to tie up the loose ends and actually give them something that they can take home and continue to work with at home, since you know, most people probably aren't going to do plant medicine right out of the gates once they get home.
Right. It's interesting. My sister-in-law is a therapist in New York, and one of her clients went to Rythmia. Mm-hmm. And she came back and she told my sister-in-law, my favorite thing, my most profound experience while I was at Rythmia was with you doing breath work. She said it changed her life. And in fact, she's heading back. So I am really a novice. I know nothing at all about this breath work. Can you share a little bit about what's possible using this and why people utilize it?
Well, yeah, it's great that we do this here at Rythmia. First, I want to say that Rythmia is probably the only place that I know of in the world that holds breathwork in such high esteem, that it is really one of the major aspects of the program. If, you know, other places haven't ever even heard of it, or, you know, you'll do a little yoga breathwork, or as I've seen, you know, it's on the menu of services. You could get the massage, you can get the foot bath, or you can do the breathwork, you know, and it's just kind of relegated to the side. But it really, you know, we're working with the breath, we're working with our own life force energy. And when that gets activated in a proper way, life becomes available to us. And a lot of people, you know, plant medicine has gained a lot of popularity. And indeed, if you go on online, the internet searches for plant medicine are 10 times more than the internet searches for breath work. That people, I think, typically have an idea that, well, I breathe, you know, and it's, you know, it's keeping me alive, and so I'm all good. But really, you know, that's only scratching the surface as to what it can do. And then other people will have experiences of breath work in yoga, things like that, where they go through, you know, 5 minutes of alternate nostril breathing or some kind of thing, and that maybe gives them a little sense of calmness. But it really, again, doesn't provide them the wow experience that an hour's worth of this transformational breath that we practice here can do for people.
I heard you, I think it was one of your Facebook Lives, Christian, and you said something that I found arresting. You said, I can tell everything about a person based on their body. So you were referring to if the neck or the shoulders were tight. You were referring to knowing if someone's carrying a lot of anger. Can you go into that a little bit? What do you see?
Sure. Well, the way somebody breathes tells a lot about that person. And it's not such a foreign concept. I mean, we have foot reflexology. We have iridology, where you can read eyes, people read palms, you know, the universe gives us clues as to, you know, everything has a clue back to the origin of what it, you know, how it came about. And so the way people breathe is largely a product of how they've lived their lives. So, you know, when we're born, ideally we're born with little trauma, but, you know, even birth can be a very traumatic experience. But let's say a healthy baby's born with little trauma, and they've got essentially a perfect breathing pattern, what I call a full, free, flowing breath. That, you know, they breathe fully, they breathe in a relaxed manner, and they continuously breathe. They're not holding their breath or unconsciously so. And when as we go through life, when we meet traumas or hard experiences, these modify the way that we breathe. And when we find ourselves consistently in these different traumas, we start to develop a habit of breathing that's more dysfunctional than it is functional. And this is where the art of what we call breath analysis, or looking at the way people breathe to see, you know, what's going on in their lives. So, for instance, if people aren't breathing in their belly, you know, there's typically breathing in the chest and breathing in the belly. If people don't breathe in the belly, often, of course, they're not very grounded. Their willpower usually isn't very strong. Depending on where in the belly too, and we can get very specific, you go down into the lower belly, often sexual trauma is held in that lower belly region, and if there's not any movement going on there, it's an indication that, you know, there's blockages of that nature. If they're not breathing in their chest, you know, the chest is where the heart is, and of course that's our more emotional region, and so somebody who doesn't breathe in their chest, usually more shut down emotionally, and so on and so forth. We have as you learn the art and skill of breath analysis, you can pinpoint a lot of things that people aren't necessarily aware of, and then once they are aware, we can actually do something about it.
So this is great. I'm going to come back because I have many questions about this. I'm fascinated by what you do. And even though I don't understand it yet, and I will clearly do this when I'm with you in October, I'm looking forward to it a lot. I think just intuitively, now I just had my first experience of ceremony and sacred plant medicine this past weekend. And so I'm coming into this with eyes wide open, and I want to go a little bit into the plant medicine aspect, and then we'll come back to the marriage with the breath work. For sure. You in particular, Christian, how did you end up here? How did you end up doing this kind of work at this facility in Costa Rica, coming from having been a monk for 10 years?
Yeah, well, do you want the long story or the short one?
Let's do the cliff notes so we can get more in depth with some of the work you do and offer.
Well, let's see. So Cliff Notes really takes me back to my first psychedelic experience when I was just, you know, my last year in high school, first year in college. And through psychedelic medicine, which at that time I was taking more recreationally, but I had what I call my first God experience, which was that I was sitting in a nice grassy field. I looked up at the clear blue sky, not a cloud in the sky. I can still, you know, picture the color and the pristineness. And in that moment, there was just this sense of communication going on. I sensed that God was communicating with me. There were no words. There was no message. There was just this sense that we were both, you know, in connection, in communion. And that basically started me on my spiritual quest. That, besides the fact that I had been a curiosity seeker all my life and looking for meaning and purpose in life, that this really propelled me to say, all right, there's something more here than everybody's been telling me about. So I got on looking for, you know, spiritual paths in college. Different groups would come in to offer their thing. I read this book, Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda, a spiritual classic, which basically gave me the direction I was looking for, to say that life's purpose was really about our evolution of our consciousness. Our own self-realization was the end goal. And the primary way to get there was through inner work. In Yogananda's case, meditation was the primary tool with which to develop the self-realization. And that led me to eventually get into his organization, the Self-Realization Fellowship, where I became a monk for 10 years. Fast forward through that, when I, you know, I planned to be there for life, but, you know, around the 10-year mark, I was getting these inner callings to go back out in the world. And that was a tumultuous emotional experience. You know, I wasn't certain what to do. And that's when breathwork came into my life to help me, really help me through that. It really helped me get clear on my emotions, which I hadn't been very clear on for most of my life. And it gave me direction. It gave me what my soul was telling me was the right path. You know, do I stay or do I go? And it told me to go, despite, you know, my mind and everything logical, the pros and cons lists and all that was saying, stay, stay, stay. But my soul and the true energy was to go. And I took a deep breath, literally and figuratively, and stepped out on my own. And, you know, I had no place to live, no job, and no plan. But the courses for this breath work were happening. And I was like, you know, if this thing helped me so much, I'd really love to be able to help others in this way. And so I quickly became a facilitator and then a trainer to be able to share this work. And then that's been my life path for the last 12 years. And that's how Rhythmia found me. Because like I said earlier, Rhythmia holds breathwork in such high regard, like no other place I know. So they were interested in getting professionals, you know, not just somebody who said, yeah, I do yoga, but I can teach breath and all this, but somebody who's actually been trained and working for a decade or more in, you know, in this process. So it happened that they needed the person who was doing the breath work at Rhythmia at the time got in a little bit of an accident and needed to recover for a few weeks. And so they needed a substitute, and my name came up, you know, through, it's kind of a small circle of people who actually, you know, do this breath work. So I came up, I came down, I stayed for just under a month. And at the end of that month, I was like, you know, this is a nice place. I talked with Jerry, our CEO, and said, I'd be fun to come back here sometime if you need another substitute, if your breath worker needs to go on vacation or whatever. And he said, you know, I like the way you work. You want a job? I said, let me think about it. Yes. Yeah. I'll And so it took a number of months to actually manifest. But since November of 2017, I've been here solid. And that's how I got here.
Wow. That's good. You're still there. Amazing. And for people listening and don't yet know, I just want to give you a wee background. So Rhythmia has a miracle mission, which states, our mission at Rhythmia Life Advancement Center is to provide every one of our guests with a life-changing experience that is nothing short of a miracle. This passion is what fuels our committed team of associates to share their many gifts with our guests. And it's why one out of three of our guests rebook their next trip even before they leave the resort, and why we have a 96% guest satisfaction rate. Huge. So now you've been there a couple of years, and how many do you guesstimate journeys, sacred plant medicine, have you done thus far yourself?
I have now broached the 50 mark. I've done 50. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's changed over time.
The experience of the plant medicine.
Yes.
Is that what you're asking?
Well, actually, when you say that, I both come up for me. Yes, for sure, the plant medicine. I want to know from its inception till now, has your experience using it and working with it changed, or it working with you? And then I am curious how you've changed.
Yeah, well, everybody tells me that I've changed quite a bit since I've been here. A little bit more tight, a little bit more locked down when I arrived. You know, I In my defense, I came from a military family. So, you know, there's a lot. And of course, monastic life, interestingly enough, is a very disciplined sort of endeavor. In my time here, it's funny, the person I was substituting for when I came in said, you know, you're coming in to help people go through their journeys here, but you're going to go through your own journey, mm-hmm. and be aware of that and be okay with that. Know that that's what this place is all about. And indeed, that's true. In fact, sometimes I joke that the ones who need this program the most are the ones who stick around the longest, which are the ones who are working here. So we people come through and they get their transformation in a week. We're here week after week after week after week, and you can't escape that energy. You know, it brings up your stuff and it puts it in your face and it forces you to look at it and to deal with it. And if you don't, it's like a wheel spinning, you're thrown off the wheel. And there's plenty of people that have been thrown off or voluntarily gotten off, because it is, I mean, it's an intense experience. As we say, it's the hardest work you'll ever be thankful that you did. And so, for me, people see what we do. They say, gosh, this really takes a lot of energy to work this week after week, doesn't it? And I say, yeah, but when I think about it, you know, at the end of the day, I'm usually used up, like every ounce of energy is pretty much spent. But when I reflect on how I spent it during the day, I can't think of a better way to use my life force and to help out. And then you go to sleep, rejuvenate, get up and do it all over again. So clearly,
when you say you started out a sort of tight guy coming from parental military background, your own discipline, monastically, that you are now not seen that way, or you don't view yourself, you feel you're much more freed up.
Yeah, well, Jerry himself, our CEO, he likes to rib me a lot, but he's definitely noticed how much more tight I was back then, and how much more loose and easygoing I am now, and that has been something that I've been aware of in my life and have been consciously working on for some time. But sometimes, like a fish in water, you know, you don't recognize that you're in water, because that's just the way it is. You know, that's who you are. And so the program works. It works on me as much as it works for anybody. So.
Awesome. You know, as I shared, I just did my very first experience this weekend, and I can only say for myself, and I'm sure I will do it again. I'm very sure I will do it again, and I'm very sure it'll be different each time. I can say that this time, which was two back-to-backs, I was so surprised at the kindness. There was enormous kindness. I interacted with a voice. I couldn't tell you what that voice was, but it felt certainly much grander than me, whether it was my oversoul or the all that is or grandmother. But the wisdom was tremendous. And every time I would think something, it would say something to me and show me a different way, very simply, very almost one sentence. Sometimes I laughed out loud because it was like, of course, and it was hilarious. And other times it was wise, and other times it was very caretaking of me, like, oh, that makes me emotional. I felt very nurtured through the whole experience. And this surprised me, because I thought, oh my goodness, it's going to be a big gestalt. I'm going to see something major. I'm going to view it, you know, something in my past and which would have been okay too. I was really quite ready, but the connection I had with whatever that loving force was that was with me the entire time was so informing, and so many pieces I feel got rearranged about how I view things and what's possible for me. Yeah. How do you resonate with that?
I think, yes, you're two thumbs up, basically. That to me is like the pinnacle experience. And I would say that you perhaps didn't get the experience of the, you know, having to face some old past trauma or this or that because you were ready for it, right? You were open to experiencing that. And usually the people who have to experience that, and plenty do, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's a little bit darker, a little bit, you know, more challenging at times. It's usually because they're holding on to that experience. And then that force, that benevolent force, is trying to pry their hands open and get, you know, get them to release that so then they can have what you just had. And that is, you know, the true loving experience of what, you know, I mean, from my monastic experience, my whole spiritual path, I feel like God, if you will, the universal energy is love. Love is what it is. And but love comes in many forms. You know, we talk about tough love sometimes, and that's sometimes what this energy has to bring to you in order to get to the soft love. And then that place where you really can say, oh, yes, this is, you know, life is actually a very loving, benevolent experience, and I'm actually taken care of in every moment that I live. I just have had to let go of some preconceived notions based on experiences I've had in the past that made me think otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. I had seen I was just really guided around fear, you know, and fear's really come in and out of my life quite a bit. And for such a big risk taker and dreamer and creator, it still has been prevalent. Yeah. And so this loving voice showed me, for me, there's either two paths. One is a no, this is not for me. And that's clear and easy. And the other one is, I'm afraid. I really want to do this. I really want this experience, but I'm afraid. And sometimes that'll create the back off.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, okay, I don't want to live like that anymore. So those are the aspects where when that comes up, instead of me going into default, I go towards instead. So we were offered tobacco, rapé.
Rapé, yes.
Yeah, something that gets blown up your nose. And, you know, they said, bring your buckets. It's going to happen. And man, the way they described it, you know, you could be spinning inside and all sorts of stuff. And my whole thing was like, warning, warning. But I remembered, I'm afraid, but I'm really called. I want this experience. So I got in line. My God, I was so proud of myself with my little bucket. And I said, I'm doing this. I'm going to what I'm afraid of, because if I'm called, that's the energy to follow. And I did it, you know, I did it. I did purge. It wasn't that big a deal. Actually, even getting over that wasn't that big a deal. And I don't know. I know some people said that was too much for them. For me, I didn't feel that. It just almost amplified where I had been.
Well, that's beautiful. And I can relate completely, because one of my mandates for leaving my ashram life, leaving the monastery and coming back in the world, was to face my fears. And I know for a risk taker, for an adventurous person, it's not that courage is this absence of fear, but it's actually to take those steps forward despite the fact that you have fear. Fear is not something that I realize, at least in my life, that you ever really get rid of. It's something you have to work with. It's something that you transcend versus like sweep under the carpet and then, you know, you have this life without fear. So it really, the more, and I at first thought, all right, by facing my fears, I can get rid of them. And actually, by facing your fears, you live a lot more in fear, because you're constantly putting them in front of you and saying, all right, I'm going to actually deal with it rather than try and circumvent you or numb you or, you know, ignore you.
That's hilarious. It's so true. Thank you.
More power to you for that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It was all such a big surprise and more. It's even more fear. Oh my God, what am I doing? I'm going to Costa Rica like a whole week of this. But it's like, we're going to Costa Rica to do a full week of this. So Rhythmia, here we come. We're going to take a very quick break. This is Dare to Dream. I feature, as you can see, successful, fascinating leaders who have created major goals. And what would you do if you knew you could not fail? What would you do if you wanted to just live your life free and unencumbered and bold? Well, you can be part of the Dare to Dream podcast, and you can donate to the show so that the business and the admin aspects are run very easily with your donation. You can go to patreon.com/daretodream, and you can donate a dollar or more. And I thank you so much in advance. This is the number one transformation conversation on podcasts. And so helping the show flourish and be sustainable and operational is such a pleasure to engage with you. And I see everything that goes through, by the way. I always write back. So again, it's patreon.com/daretodream. And if you're just tuning in, Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream, I'm interviewing R. Christian Minson. He works at Rhythmia, a medically licensed luxury retreat center that focuses on spiritual awakening and facilitates plant medicine journeys. You could see the phone number right behind Christian, so I won't say that again, or go online to rhythmia.link/my last name Dashinger. Christian, I want to ask you about the journeys at Rhythmia. Why four, and are the four back to back? What is the purpose there?
I think the purpose has just been an evolution. You mentioned I've been here now close to 2 years, and you know, Rhythmia has been in existence for just a little over 3 years, I think. And so in many ways, if you're running a business, you call this the startup phase. We're basically just pulling out of that startup phase where the systems, the way things are done are nebulous and in flux. And it really was an evolution. When I first came here, we did plant medicine every night of the week, but two, and breathwork every night of the week. And people had to choose, and it created a little bit of confusion and a little bit of imbalance, I'd say. And as the program evolved, it seems like it naturally got to the point where, again, we start the week with the breath because it's a little bit softer. It offers the same, this particular type of breath offers the same sort of transcendental experiences, the same sort of emotional and traumatic catharsis experiences that that plant medicine can. But I often joke that like both the breathwork and the plant medicine are like keys that unlock the door to your consciousness. The breath unlocks that door, opens up and smiles to you and beckons you in, maybe serves you a little tea. The plant medicine opens that door, and when you look in, it kicks your butt in there, closes the door, locks it, and then it doesn't let you out for like 8 hours. So the point there is that the breath gives you a softer entry into some of these same experiences that you're going to have with the plant medicine, but there's sort of like a release valve, so to speak. You're not locked in for the 8 hours. You're only there for the hour that you're breathing. And if you really don't like it, which I don't recommend, but you can always stop the process but if you do, usually you brought up all your crap and you haven't fully processed it yet. So to stop is not recommended. But then the plant medicine works. It's an interesting thing because it doesn't, there's not a tolerance buildup. Like, drugs that you'll take recreationally, often you take them, and then the next day, if you try to take the same thing, you don't get as high because you're developing this tolerance, right? The plant medicine is essentially more medicine than drug. It is And in this way, it's a cumulative effect. So the second day is building off the first day, and the third day builds off the last two. And having that medicine in your system from the day before enhances your experience for the next and the next. And then the build of the particular days is very well put together. And we end the week with our, each day is done with a slightly different medicine, slightly different tradition. And at the end of the week, we end with Colombian medicine, the Colombian tradition, which is sort of the hallmark here at Rhythmia. And it's an all-night ceremony in the true Colombian fashion. It's a big celebration, healings, blessings, you know, the full fanfare of how they've done this for centuries, millennia in these indigenous cultures. And it builds up in this very organic way. And I'd say that we just found what kind of works and have locked it in. And now that this is our program.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm so excited hearing you say this. Lamaze. Okay. So let's say that a person has drunk the brew, so to speak. Uh-huh. And they're coming on and they have some really uncomfortable experience or some kind of vision that's frightening, confusing messages, visions, emotions, physical sensations. Is it possible to use what you teach, the breath flow, the breath work during a ceremony to create the best possible results?
Ah, well, you're onto something there. And indeed, again, when we talk about the construct of the whole week, we bring that breath in, you know, first to give people a soft entry into these experiences, but then also to provide them with a tool that our breath can be your very best friend when you are in the middle of a plant journey and all of a sudden a dark experience comes forward. And I want to make a point here too that you know, never does a dark experience get like added to you. It's not about going here and then we open a bag of darkness and let it all, infest the people. But what you're experiencing, we have a phrase here, what's coming is going. What's coming is going, which means that what you experience is coming up to be released. It was in you and it's finally coming to your conscious awareness that this has been in you so that you can actually do something about it and let it go. It's not that this experience was overlaid on you and now you have to deal with this new darkness that you didn't have before. And so this is a very vital part of the whole thing. But when this happens, of course it can be a little disconcerting, a little emotional and such. And you can utilize the breath work in a slightly gentler fashion, I'd say, to help you move through those experiences. And so this is, again, one of the reasons why we introduced the breath at the beginning of the program, so that you have this tool to work with. And I always poll people at the end of the week, because, of course, then we end with the breath work. And I see how many of you actually use the breath to help you through some of these dark experiences. And invariably, you know, most of the room raises their hands. And because there is, you know, there's plenty to get through. And this is such a powerful tool, such a foundational tool to our being.
I'm so glad you said all that. So also then, what about physical things? Because I can tell you my first night, I had some like stabbing stuff happening in my stomach. And would we also use the breath work? Are there particular techniques that you would recommend to get through any physical sensations? A lot of people talked about different things in their shoulders, their ribs, interesting stuff, I assume, being released physically.
Yeah, well, that gets into, once again, you know, in the breathwork world, we talked about the breath analysis. There's also what we call a body map, where you can, different emotions and traumas or repressions of those emotions are stored in different areas of our body. So typically, like anger stored in your shoulders, or fear stored at the rib cage area, we call the fear belt. Guilt and shame tends to be stored up and down the back. So if you're feeling these pains, usually, once again, it's an activation of a stagnant or repressed energy that then finally is being shaken loose. You know, it's like we kept, you know, if you got a glass of muddy water and you let it sit long enough, the mud settles to the bottom, and then it, you know, the glass looks clear, but there's still mud in there, right? So now what we're doing with the medicine is we're shaking it up so that the mud comes to the surface, and we can actually filter it out and then have a truly clean glass. So, you know, you are the vessel or the glass, and mud is your crap, your old traumas and experiences. And, you know, we pretend like they're not there by trying to hide them away. But as Sigmund Freud, the great psychotherapist, once said, you know, unexpressed emotions never die. They just reemerge in darker and uglier ways. So this essentially is the state of the world as we know it. We have these experiences, we stuff them down, we pretend like we're all fine and good, but they continue to leak out and discolor our experience. And they're influencing the choices we make, the people we hang out with, the opportunities that we get or don't get, because this energy is still with us. And usually it's not influencing us for the better, but in darker and uglier ways.
It makes me very curious, as you're saying this, you know, pre-ceremony, I had for about a week anger coming up. There was no event. I just made an assumption. This is ancient. It's maybe my ancient, maybe lineage ancient. I don't even know what this is. But I thought, well, I'm sure this will be cleared up in ceremony. It definitely was not. And then I'm just reintegrating. And yesterday, same thing, rearing its, I don't know if it's an ugly head, if it's anger, it just is, it's energy. But still, it's there. And so how would you work with something like that? What would you recommend? That's like an angel saying, that was kind of interesting.
Hey, you're right on there. What a great question. One thing I want to point out about that is there is a common perception that like our experience is packed into tidy little boxes with a bow on it, right? And that we have a ceremony, we'll clear everything out in the ceremony, we can go back to living and then do this, you know, that everything's compartmentalized. But indeed, life is a continuum. Life is an experience, and the ceremony is part of that continuum. The ceremony is a very, like an intensive cleaning. You go get a deep cleaning, but you know, if you're cleaning your rug, there still may be some dirt that you still need to get out in a second round or something like that. Interestingly too, we hear this from a lot of people that as soon as they hung up the phone, they booked their reservation at Rhythmia, and they hang up the phone, stuff starts happening. Mm-hmm. It's like, so again, if we look at the medicine as this physical substance, this thing that you drink, then you get very caught up in, well, you know, stuff only happens during the ceremony when I'm actually drinking this. If you recognize that the medicine is really just a product of a greater intelligence that is always in activity, but as soon as it's activated by your intention, it's your intention that brings forth the ability, the possibility for you to heal. And when people finally make that reservation, they've usually done so because it takes a lot to determine to want to have this kind of experience. So when you've got that kind of resolution, you hang up the phone, now the ball is rolling and things start happening. I even had this experience when I first came to work here, after my month of substituting and I came back for my permanent position, on the way to the airport, I started to feel ill. And so much so, I asked my buddy who was driving me, do you have a bag or something I could have? And I actually purged. I actually threw up in his car. Fortunately, he did have a bag. And I get to Rhythmia, and the next day I'm telling people about this. I find out that they had this ceremony that night where the medicine was new and it was a pretty strong brew. And just the sense that I got was the medicine took its, you know, tendrils and like wrapped itself around me and pulled me in and said, you're mine now, you know, you're part of this clan. And stuff like that happens all the time. People, just like you, you start feeling these things because you've primed the pump now. Now the actual retreat and everything that you go through, with the pinnacle being the breathwork and the plant medicine, are designed to help you through that. But then life goes on, right? You don't just like, you don't get cured and then get to go home and sit on your couch and live happily ever after. You still have to live life. And what this ideally gives you is a perspective and tools for living life in a healthy, happy, and harmonious way versus, you know, having all the issues and problems and darkness that perhaps you had prior to having this experience.
I've read that the lungs produce the most DMT in the body. Is that correct?
That I don't know if they produce the most, but I it is correct that through vigorous breathing, like the type that we do, DMT is released into the body. And of course, DMT is the active ingredient in plant medicine. DMT is naturally created in our body. It is the chemical that causes us to dream. It's a release when we have epiphanies or, you know, big realizations and things like that. And so that's how breath work provides the same kind of experiences that plant medicine does, because we're essentially working with the same chemical in our bodies.
That is so interesting when you say that. A memory comes up when I did two marathons, two Los Angeles marathons, and I remember the deep, deep, deep breathing running the last couple of miles, because I was a race walker, but I always ran the last miles. And it was so deep that when I would get to the finish line, I was crying. You know, again, no connection, but I understood it was the breath of the running was creating this energy moving out of me. And it was always amazing because the helpers would come to take the chip off of my sneaker when I got through the finish line. Are you okay? Yes, I'm fine. But it was just all this, you know, emoting. And I've had that before too. I never thought about that. And also, is this a little bit akin to ecstatic dancing?
Yeah, well, all of these things, you know, being a breathwork trainer and having worked with breath for so many years, and really being a guy, you know, being a monk prior to that, where we didn't do any kind of medicine or any kind of stimulants and that kind of thing, recognize that we are endowed with three unique tools for our own self-healing, which is breath, sound, and movement. Mm. And breath, sound, and movement all are very powerful tools when we learn how to harness their energy to help us, you know, balance and rid ourselves of dark energy to transcend our normal states of consciousness and reach higher states of awareness. So, yeah. So ecstatic dance, you know, deals with the movement aspect primarily. And of course, breath is an auxiliary to that. Our breath work deals mainly with the breath, but we do movement and sound parts in there as well. And of course, using sound healing, you know, people can have the same kind of transcendental experiences using the tools of sound healing as well.
Wow. Breath, sound, and movement for healing. We're coming to the last moments of this conversation. And again, if you're interested in R. Christian Minson and his breath work, breath flow wellness, as well as what Rhythmia offers, you can go to rhythmia.link/Dashinger. Well, Christian, this is Dare to Dream. So what are you next, Dare to Dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
My future dream is really to take this to more people. I think, you know, in tandem with Rhythmia and in continuing on my own journey of sharing the breath work, I've already seen, you know, one of the people who came here, one of the thought leaders, Greg Braden, you may be aware of, he really resonated with the breath work when he was here, and he's that since then had me offer it at a number of his events. And, you know, so far the record number of people that I've breathed in one particular room has been 265. Wow. It is, and I see, you know, we're talking about more events where he may have up to 800 people eventually in that room. And so this is what I really see is trying to get this experience out to the masses so that global transformation can start to happen through people having these experiences, becoming more aware, and in mass starting to make changes in the world.
What is the website where people can find you and your work?
My work is at breathflow.com. So the flow of the breath, B-R-E-A-T-H, F is in fabulous, L-O-W.com, breathflow.com.
There's a quote from your breath work, which is, "You are guided on insightful journeys that open you up to life-changing events and shifts in consciousness. The practice is done using resources and tools to guide you into powerful integration of tension, pain, and deep-rooted emotional suppressions and trauma." Is it possible somebody could utilize what it is you offer and literally change their world?
I not only believe that, I believe it. I mean, it's a fact. This is how we change. We get in touch with our life force energy, and we start to see who we are in a much bigger and broader context, and recognize that we've been playing very small, and usually small means we've been taking small breaths. As we open up to deeper breathing, we're literally bringing more life force energy, more spirit into our being, and then we're guided and activated by that spirit, which means then we can actually act in alignment with the nature of spirit, which is always helping us on this path of our own evolution, which is the goal of life.
The goal of life. And is there anything here at the end, Christian, that you'd like to say to the listeners?
Just that, you know, recognize that your breath is such a powerful tool for transformation, that don't take it for granted that just because you breathe and it keeps you alive, that's what your breath is supposed to do. But it's really at the confluence of our physical dimension of our being, our emotional dimension, and ultimately our spiritual dimension of being. And that when we really start to experiment with it, and I encourage you to experiment with it to the point that you're comfortable, and if it starts to get a little uncomfortable, find a facilitator, find a trained professional to help guide you through these experiences, because it really is the foundation of our awakening into who we truly are. Mm.
I was a singer from the time I was very young, and a professional singer most of my life. And one of the very, very first things I was taught as a young girl laying on my back with books on my belly was to stop whatever this was, no bueno, like to start really learning to breathe from my diaphragm and, you know, create this muscle. Mm. So I love that this is a way beyond extension of that. The singing for me was just my expression. What you offer is a real healing for each of us individually and out into the planet. So thank you for the brilliance that you do.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for having me on the show, and, you know, for all the good work you're doing in helping enlighten people to these different paths and possibilities.
I end with this quote, which is, "Deep breaths are like little love notes to your body." Mm. Next week on Dare to Dream podcast, I'm featuring Dr. John DeMartini. And subscribe to the Dare to Dream podcast, and you'll receive the number one transformation in your inbox each week. Also at YouTube, at youtube.com/Debbie Dashinger. And remember, the secret of success to creating your dreams is having the courage to begin in the first place. And as Christian said, courage doesn't mean without fear. Courage means to do in spite of fear.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to DebbieDashinger.com. keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at DebbieDashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to DebbieDashinger.com. That's www.DebbieDashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?